This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you on this Friday morning by Taylor Tire and Auto on West Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Crop insurance continues to be a valuable tool for farmers. Jasper County farmer Bill Michael remembers why he decided to purchase crop insurance coverage for his operation.
In 1983, we had a drought. Our corn averaged 15 bushels to acre. Soybeans averaged 20 bushels to acre. That's what opened my eyes to crop insurance. Ever since then, I've had crop insurance every year.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand the value you place on working with a crop insurance provider that understands today's crop insurance options.
Farm Credit, the crop insurance agents have been very helpful. They're very knowledgeable in the different programs, different policies available. They're just a phone call away. If I have a question, I just make a call and the answer is there.
Call Farm Credit today at 800-444-FARM to discover more about a crop insurance plan to fit your farming operation.
Farm Credit has been a big help insurance-wise. They've been a very big help.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand.
Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield is your headquarters for Firestone Farm Tires and Service. Taylor Tire, your authorized Firestone Tire dealer, is the place to call for all your Firestone Farm Tire needs. And when you need in-the-field service, the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto are trained, experienced, and they have the right equipment to do the job and on time. So when you need Firestone Farm Tires or in-the-field service, call the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. First of all, in the farm news on this Friday morning, the DTN general opening call for today. Expect corn later this morning to open 2 to 4 lower, beans 1 to 2 lower, and wheat about a nickel lower. The overnight crude oil market, 55 cents higher at 108.38. The Brent crude, a nickel higher at 123.67. The April gold contract, $4.50 lower at $1,781.80, while the U.S. dollar index, 0.332 lower at 78.487. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, March wheat closed at 641.75, down 2.75. May wheat closed at 641, down 4.75. July wheat closed at 655, down a nickel. March corn on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 639.5, up 1.25. May corn closed at 642.5, up 1.25. July corn closed at 644.75, up a half. March soybeans on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 1276.75, up 4.5. May beans closed at 1283.5, up 4.75. July beans closed at 1291.25. Up 4.75. March soybean meal on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 332.90, up 16. May meal closed at 335.30, up 15. July meal closed at 337.20, up 15. March soybean oil on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 54.20, down 2. May oil closed at 54.59, down 2. July oil closed at $55, down 2. March oats on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 320.5, up 1.25. May oats closed at 313.5, up 1.25. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended mixed on Thursday afternoon, with corn and soybeans higher and wheat lower. Fund buying at the Board of Trade helped to lift soybean prices, and the stronger soybean market plus some positive export news helped to lift corn values. Today, the USDA announced the sale of 120,000 tons of U.S. corn to China. In central Illinois, country grain deals quoted shell corn bids 1 to 2 cents higher at 630 to 649, while soybean bids were mostly 5 cents stronger at 1251 to 1268. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 1 to 2 cents at 640 to 662. Soybeans gained 2 to 5 cents at 1264 to 1282, while wheat bids mostly 2 to 5 lower at 618 to 652. In the St. Louis area, country elevators and mills report those corn bids 1 to 2 cents stronger, range from 640 to 647. Soybeans gained 4 to 5 cents at 1264 to 1272, while wheat prices ended 2 to 4 cents lower at 636 to 645. Illinois River Barge loading elevators quartered their producer corn bids steady to 4 cents higher at 643 to 652. Soybeans gained 5 to 6 cents at 1287 to 1290, while the new crop wheat bids for July 12 delivery dropped 2 to 5 cents at 637 to 643. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 1 to 3 cents higher at 665 to 667. These same elevators lifted their soybean prices by 4 to 6 cents with quotations at 1307 to 1308. Soft red winter wheat gained 2 cents in St. Louis, ranged from 656 to 657, and the Milo ended a penny higher at 623 to 624. That is our country grain report for Thursday. This is Jerry Milberg returning you to WSMI.
April hogs on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 89.60, down 72. May hogs closed at 98.77, down 22. June hogs closed at 99.40, down 72. February cattle on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 127.30, down 205. April cattle closed at 129.67, down 147. June cattle closed at 127.75, down $1.10. March feeder cattle on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 157.65, down 77. April feeders closed at 160.17, down 70. May feeders closed at 161.72, down 60. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
The closing livestock reports for Thursday, February 23rd. For the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hogs, barrels and gilts closed 12 cents lower. Carcass-based price range of 76 to 89 and a weighted average of 83.46. Hogs purchased in Illinois today, 11,700. Illinois direct barrel and gilt trade a dollar higher at 57 to 61 and Illinois direct slaughterhouse steady. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds at 51 to 55. 450 to 550 pounds at 54 to 59. Over 550 pounds at 55 to 60. Today's estimated receipts, 750, and Wednesday's actuals, 1,350. Pork carcass cut out, 85.56. That is up 63 cents. The estimated daily livestock slaughter and a federal inspection. Hogs for today and last week, both 421,000. A year ago, 414,000. Week to date of 1,640,000. Cattle for today, 124,000. Last week, 122,000. A year ago, 131,000. Week to date of 472,000. Box beef cut-up values were generally steady on light demand and offerings. Total movement today, 136 fab loads and 63 trim. Choice at 196.86, and that is down 2 cents. Select at 193.02, and that is up 39 cents. Yesterday at the Greenville Livestock Auction, 617 head sold. Compared to last week, slaughter steers never sold 1 to 2 higher, with Holstein steers steady. Slaughter cows 2 to 3 higher, and slaughter bulls $1.50 to 2 higher. Feeder cattle sold mostly 4 to 8 higher in a light test. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, 126 to 131. Selected choice 2s and 3s, 119 to 124.5. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s at 114.5 to 121. Selected choice 2s and 3s at 108.5 to 113.5. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s from 125 to 130. Selected choice 2s and 3s range from 118.5 to 124.5. Slaughter cows, boning type 75 to 81. Low dressing from 70 to 75. Lean cows traded at 68 to 77, few high dressing from 78 to 80, and low dressing at 60 to 65. Slaughter bulls, your grade ones at 87 to 94, couple of high dressing, 104 to 106, and a couple of low dressing from 80 to 80.5. Return to farm calves, Holstein males weighing between 70 and 100 pounds at $90 to $240 a head. Feeder steers, medium and large frame number ones, weighing 300 to 400 pounds, 199 to 201, 500 to 550 pounds at 157 to 158, 600 to 700 pounds at 150 to 160. Holstein steers, large frame number threes, weighing 300 to 350 pounds at 104 to 111, 450 to 350 to 400 pounds at 96 to 102, with 400 to 500 pounds at $1 to $1.10. Heifers, medium and large frame number ones, weighing 300 to 350 pounds at 165 to 171. 400 to 500 pounds at 160 to 170, with 500 to 525 pounds at 157 to 166. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock Grain Market News Service, returning you back to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, February Class 3 milk closed at $16.08, up a penny. March milk closed at $15.23, down 14. April milk closed at $14.98, down 26. February butter on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday closed at $147.25, up a quarter. March butter closed at $146, down a half. April butter closed at $150.75. That was down 1.75. February non-fat dry milk yesterday, 138 unchanged. For March, 132.5, down a half. April non-fat dry milk, 130.5, down a half. Spot prices trending down. Block cheese, 146.75, down 1.25. Barrel cheese, 147, down a half. Butter, 141.5, unchanged. Non-fat dry milk, 129.25, unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk, $17.05. Wrapping up part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Friday, here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for February, $6.48. For March, $6.47. Corn delivered to Scottville for February, $6.40. For March, $6.39. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for February, $12.68. For March, $12.62. And wheat delivered to Scottville for February, $6.17. For more information or to confirm the bids, contact Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. The pre-opening prices once again, corn at Greenfield, $6.48. Corn at Scottville, $6.40. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $12.68. Wheat at Scottville, $6.17. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Friday. It's been brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto on West Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. Color radar showing no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area at this time. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
Hi, this is Kristen Bitter from M&M Service Company. Up until recently, the words convenient and financing didn't go together, but the FS AgriFinance program has changed that. FS AgriFinance enables you to secure financing through M&M Service Company for all your farming input needs. So not only do you save time, but your production needs and financial plans are all handled by people who understand your business the way you do. Ask about FS AgriFinance from M&M Service Company today. It's custom financing at your convenience.
Partly cloudy skies across mid-Illinois, windy, high temperatures in the low 40s with northwest winds gusting to 25 miles per hour. For tonight, partly cloudy and colder, the low in the mid-20s. Tomorrow, Saturday, sunny skies, the high about 40. Your extended forecast for Sunday through Tuesday, partly cloudy skies and warmer with a chance of a shower on Tuesday. Low temperatures in the mid-30s, highs in the upper 40s. 36 degrees at the Weather Center on this Friday morning from WSMI FM 106. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is next.
Let's get ready to mow at Sloan's. Our factory-trained technicians are ready.
Check.
Our John Deere parts are set.
Check.
Beat the rush with our complete 14-point inspection. Why not keep your John Deere investment paying off for years to come? Give it the annual upkeep it deserves, and we'll have you ready to mow. Call today and book early at any of Sloan's 11 Central Illinois locations or online at sloans.com.
Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the Taylor and Soaps Tea Room and Gift Shop of Mount Olive, by the Litchfield National Bank, and by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro. In our farm news today, the Illinois Field Office of the National Agricultural and Statistics Service released the USDA's 2011 county estimates for corn, soybeans, and sorghum in Illinois. Farmers in Woodford County led the way in corn yields with an average of 186.5 bushel per acre, the highest in the state. This was more than 29 bushel above the state average of 157. For soybeans, Carroll County farmers had the highest yields at 63.1 bushel, more than 16 bushel above the state average of 47. LaSalle County had the largest overall production for corn. McLean County had the largest production for soybeans. And McLean County also had the largest number of acres harvested for both corn and soybeans. In our mid-Illinois listening area, corn yields from 2011, Montgomery County 138.6 bushel, Macoupin County 131.1 bushel, Greene County 158.7 bushel, Jersey County 149.1 bushel, 118.6 bushel in Madison County, Bond County recorded 124.2 bushel, Fayette County 137.9 bushel, Effingham County 153.7 bushel, Shelby County 146.3 bushel, Christian County 154.8 bushel, Sangamon County recorded 165.7 bushel and 157.2 bushel in Morgan County. Soybean averages in the area, Montgomery County averaged 43.7 bushel, Macoupin County 39.8 bushel, 55.5 bushel in Sangamon County, 50.1 bushel in Morgan County, 47.8 bushel in Greene County, 46.2 bushel in Jersey County, 35.4 bushel in Bond County, 34.5 bushel in Madison County, 40.5 bushel in Fayette County, 43.3 bushel in Effingham County, 43.3 recorded in Shelby County, Christian County, 51.9 bushel per acre, their average soybean yield from last year, according to the National Agricultural Statistics Service. The report from the Greenville livestock auction yesterday compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold $1 to $2 higher. Slaughter Holstein steers traded steady. Slaughter cows sold $2 to $3 higher. Slaughter bulls sold $1.50 to $2 higher. Feeder cattle sold mostly $4 to $8 higher. Slaughter steers accounted for about 12% of the total run. Slaughter Holstein steers 9%. Slaughter heifers 12%. Slaughter cows 33%, slaughter bulls about 3%, bred cows 1%, and feeder cattle accounted for 30% of the total run, and in the feeder supply, steers accounted for 38%, Holstein steers 13%, heifers 39%, bulls about 10%, and feeder cattle over 600 pounds accounted for about 22% of the total run of feeders yesterday at the Greenville Livestock Auction. Receipts totaled 617, last week 347, a year ago 632. All classes of sheep and goats lightly tested, not enough for an accurate market comparison. Good demand was noted for slaughter lambs and slaughter kids. The slaughter lambs accounted for a little over half of the total run. Slaughter ewes 3%, slaughter kids 30%, slaughter nannies about 10%, and all other goats about 3%. Total receipts yesterday 30, last week 45, and a year ago 42 head. In other farm news today, the Commodity Classic will be held next weekend in Nashville. And with a preview, here's Rita Frazier of the Illinois Farm Bureau Radio Network.
I'm Rita Frazier reporting Ag News here on WSMI. Gary Niemeyer, Illinois farmer, preparing for next week's Commodity Classic as the president of the National Corn Growers Association. Gary said they're looking for record crowds next week in Nashville.
I tell you what, I am so excited. This year, we're going to have over 5,200 people attend the Commodity Classic. That's a record, and by quite a bit, 20% almost over last year's attendance. And on top of that, we had 8,421 entrants in our corn yield contest. And the winner did come from Virginia this year, 429 bushel to the acre. Can you believe that? Here we live in Illinois, next to Iowa, next to Indiana, and somebody from Virginia has the highest yield. But that shows the technology that's available in the hybrid, all the things that are going on, and that's the reason it's so important to come to our Commodity Classic, not only to get to see what's going on in policy development, but also to get to see what's going on at the farming level. We should have a great show this year. We have 251 exhibitors. This is the largest show we're going to have as well.
It's really great. You said you were going to take off and drive down to Nashville early next week for the event, and you'll be paying more at the gas pump, Gary, and that also kind of just ties right into several of the topics and issues that you guys will be talking about there.
Well, ouch, and you're right, and it doesn't make a lot of sense when E15 has just been approved by US EPA And, you know, something that people really don't pay too much attention to, RBOB gas, that's just a regular retail price of gas, is right today, I think I saw it at $3.02 this morning on the TV, $3.02 a gallon. And I'm sure you know exactly that the price of ethanol is $2.21. Now, that's 80 cents a gallon less. Rita, there are no programs of any kind of a subsidy. We have no import tax. Why are we not moving forward with E15?
As we said, you'll be talking about that in Nashville, and that is not just a corn grower issue, Gary. It is an agriculture issue, and that's how you guys approach it, as well as the other groups that you'll be with there in Nashville.
Absolutely. Plus, it's a jobs creation bill. We have close to 400,000 plus people working in the ethanol industry, and we're going to be talking also about the farm bill. And this is one of the things that most farmers are all excited about. They've had a really good year this last year, higher price grain. But you know, when you have high prices like that, you're also subject to a lot of volatility, and that's the reason we need to have some protection in this farm bill.
Gary Niemeyer, president of the National Corn Growers Association. Reporting for WSMI, I'm Rita Frazier.
Thursday, we talked to Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions about the grain trade. He said that for the short term, planting intentions reports are affecting the markets.
Well, we do have the USDA Ag Outlook Forum going on as we speak. And they have released some numbers this morning. You know, I was under the impression they were only going to release some of the carryout figures, but they did release the acreage numbers, and they pegged corn acres right at 94 million and soybeans right at 75. So I think the trade's fear going into this, which we saw some liquidation going into it. Of course, we had a good recovery yesterday, but some of the money was moving to the sidelines in fear that they may flash a 94.5 to 95 or even more than that, and you know, just wanted to get some of that risk out of the marketplace. So I think these numbers on both are going to be seen as neutral to somewhat supportive. And, you know, tomorrow we'll have all of the numbers that they're going to push out, which will have be, you know, the final acres, the yield, and also their demand expectations. So we'll see what those carryout figures look like, at least from what the government is going to estimate in anyways, and then take that direction and start looking at weather into this spring, start to focus on how small is the crop in South America. These are still the issues that are affecting us. But it's very interesting to note, this morning we did see a sale reported of U.S. corn to China, about 120,000 metric tons. Another one about the same size to an unknown destination. So, you know, I think some of these end users, be it China or, you know, feeders, anyone who needs to buy corn, ahead of springtime, there's a lot of end users that don't seem to have much coverage on for April and May. And I guess if I were in their position, I'd be looking to book that now rather than 2 or 3 weeks from now, because if something happens, market could very well get lit up again.
In other farm news, on this Friday morning, the Beefmaster cattle breed was developed in 1954 by a man named Tom Lassiter, who systematically crossed Hereford, Shorthorn, and Brahman cattle. The point of this was to create more productive cattle based on what he considered the six essentials: weight, conformation, milk production, fertility, hardiness, and disposition. Beefmaster's breeded United Executive Vice President, Dr. Tommy Perkins, says the Beefmaster breed is special because the cattle acclimate to any environment they are put into. Dr. Perkins says they are the fastest growing, most efficient, and most docile cattle he's been around. The Beefmaster breed is the eighth largest purebred breed in the United States, Perkins says, and it's one of the very few breeds created domestically. Perkins says the story isn't just domestic, though.
I have the fortune to travel internationally, go to Thailand, where we've introduced our cattle to their native population via semen. I think we've got about 5,000 animals on the ground there now. We are the fastest growing breed in Thailand, for example. We currently are the largest breed of cattle in South Africa. Also very present in Mexico. Just visited Costa Rica. We're also very prevalent there. Colombia, been there a couple of times now. And we're trying to get into Brazil as well. So very international breed as well as a domestic breed.
Dr. Perkins agrees the mass culling of the herd in the Southwest due to the drought has put pressure on the entire industry.
We're very driven by numbers, especially registration numbers, and females are going to drive that number as we move forward. The positive thing that I get out of this whole thing is many of our breeders were able to cull down or remove those females that were certainly more inferior than what that probably marketing strategy said they should have. So I really think there's been a blessing to us in general in the beef industry that we culled those lower-end, less productive cows. We've kept the very good, very high productive cows. And that's just going to move us forward genetically at a much faster rate because the good Lord made us cull these cattle at the level we did. It's going to move us forward much faster.
Perkins says Beefmaster could help rebuild the Southwest herd.
Beefmaster offers the greatest opportunity to replace, because we are known as a maternal breed. We offer that cow that will go out there and make it on her own. She's very efficient, a very productive cattle, will put a lot of growth in your cattle. And plus, we'll bring in again some of this heterosis because of the black-headed cow population we currently have in the United States. We are the breed of choice, in my opinion, in terms of that efficiency, docility, and growth that we can offer, and still have a great maternal female.
The biggest challenge for the beef industry, according to Dr. Perkins, is making sure the price increase is enough for producers to continue, but not too high that consumers won't continue purchasing beef. Pork is making new inroads in quick-serve restaurants. Pork Checkoff domestic marketing specialist Jared Sutton says Taco Bell is the latest success story.
Taco Bell is introducing First Meal. They're experimenting with it in a number of markets, primarily out west. But it's a breakfast opportunity at Taco Bell. We've been working with these guys for a number of years to think about this concept. And a little different demographic that Taco Bell targets. They introduced Fourth Meal a number of years ago, that late night snacking. And so now they're kind of going the other direction. Maybe it's full circle to be able to offer First Meal in the morning. And it is a tremendous boost. They have a very loyal consumer base. And with all of the sausage and bacon and ham that they'll be offering at this new First Meal, it's all incremental product movement. And so we're really excited about this thing coming to life. We're going to help them support it in some of these test markets by introducing it to a lot of their customers through point-of-sale materials, supporting some of their in-market advertising, and like I said, driving some big-time incremental tonnage to that First Meal at Taco Bell.
According to Sutton, this is a brand-new opportunity for pork.
Taco Bell's not entered into the breakfast world before. It's an incredibly competitive time, meal day part, I should say, for QSR, for quick food service restaurants. McDonald's, Burger King, Subway has had it for a short period of time now, and now you see Taco Bell entering into the mix too.
Sutton says Taco Bell is just one example of Pork Checkoff success in fast food chains. For more information, you can contact the Pork Checkoff Service Center. Go to pork.org or phone 800-456-PORK. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack kicked off the commemoration of the department's 150th anniversary Thursday at the USDA 2012 Agricultural Outlook Forum, titled Moving Agriculture Forward, with presenters and panelists who discussed issues impacting agriculture in 2012 and beyond. The secretary moderated a panel discussion with former secretaries of agriculture Ed Schaefer, Mike Johans, Ann Veneman, Dan Glickman, Mike Espy, Clayton Yeider, John Block, and Bob Berglund. At the forum, USDA introduced a short film titled Secretaries of Agriculture, 30 Leaders, 150 Years, available at usda.gov/USDA150, which looks at the history of the USDA from the viewpoints of its 9 most recent secretaries. Each secretary shared reflections on his or her time at the USDA and then presented ideas and challenges to the future of American agriculture. Some local notes on this Friday morning. Residents can now purchase the new 2011 Macoupin County Land Atlas and Plat Book at the Staunton City Hall and at Seavers Equipment in Hamel. The new Plat Book was produced by Rockford Map Publishers. The Macoupin County 4-H Foundation is distributing this edition of the Plat Book as a service to the community. The book accurately displays parcel boundaries, roadways, waterways, railways, section lines, municipal boundaries, acreage, and an index to owners. Cost of the printed plat book is $35, payable to the Macoupin County 4-H Foundation. For more information, phone 854-9604. The annual 4-H FFA Rabbit Workshop will be held at Southwestern High School's Ag Department tomorrow at 9. For more information, contact Judy Benz, the program coordinator at the Jersey County Extension Office at 618-498-2913 or Tim Reed at Southwestern High School at 618-729-3211. The Madison County Fair Association will have their first annual Chicken and Beer Dance fundraiser. It will be held tomorrow evening at the Madison County Fairgrounds Expo Hall. Advance tickets available at Hamel Co-op Grain, Willis Insurance of Troy, First Mid-Illinois Bank and Trust of Highland, the Highland branch of the Bank of Edwardsville, and at Oberbeck Grain in Highland. The Central Illinois Livestock Feeders will have their annual dinner dance featuring the band The Fundamentals. It will be held Saturday night, March 3rd at 6 at the Witt Lyons Building. Tickets are $15 per person. For more information, contact Julie Nodal at 273-4768 or Dorothy Archibald at 556-6501. And coming up later today, we'll keep you updated with the commodity markets on WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by the Taylor & Soaps Tea Room and Gift Shop of Mount Olive, by the Litchfield National Bank, and by Wright Automotive in Hillsboro.